You can see in the bulletin that our gospel lesson this morning comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 13 through 16. This comes from a section of the gospel called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found only in the gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is talking to those who have gathered around him on the mountaintop to hear the good word. So as I read these ancient words, words that are probably familiar to most of us, hear them again. What are they saying to you today at this particular point on your journey of faith? You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, this past week, I came across this article in the Atlantic magazine, and since I mentioned at the early service and at the middle service, a lot of people come out, I saw that article. I guess I got it through my Apple News feed or whatever. It was written by a person named Derek Thompson, and as I started reading this article, I said to myself, I've heard this song before. I know this. The article was entitled, "The True Cost of the Church Going Bust." All right? The true cost of the church going bust. Now, Thompson starts off quoting numbers from a recent survey. You know, things we've heard a lot about. Let me just give you a feel for this. More than one quarter of Americans now identify as atheist, agnostics, or religiously unaffiliated. All right? And this is the highest level of non-religiosity in the poll's history. I don't know how long the poll's been going on, but it's probably a long time. Further, two-thirds of these non-believers, quote, non-believers, were brought up at least nominally in a religious household. And on top of that, in recent years, more Americans have converted out of religion than have converted to all forms of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam combined. And of course, this is nothing new. We've heard these numbers on and off for many years now. We've been lamenting it, of course. And it just seems to have been picking up steam a little bit lately. And I'll give you an example. In 1937, 70% of folks belong to a religious community. Okay, 70%. Jump ahead to 1980s, 70% belong to a religious community. For about 50 years, it was pretty stagnant there. But then something happened along about the 1990s. Now, it's about the same time that I arrived here at Pleasant Grove. Now, I'm not saying it was my fault exclusively, but I may have had something to do with it. But the ranks of non-believers surged in the 1990s. And over the past 25 years, an estimated 40 million people, one in eight Americans, have stopped going to church, making this the largest concentrated change in church attendance in American history. And in 2021, of course, remember what was going on in 2021, membership in houses of worship fell below a majority for the first time on record. All right. Okay. Across the years, when I've read so many stories about this across the years, stories about the great exodus from faith communities across the country. And usually the information is presented in very stark statistical terms, as was this case. And the takeaway every time I hear these numbers is this: we need to do better. We need to do a better job. We need to boost our numbers, right? Otherwise, we're going to go out of business. We're going to go out of business. Our buildings will be sold. Our cemeteries will be unkept. What a mess. In other words, poor, pitiful us, right? Look what the world has done to us. Now, Thompson, a person that is a self-avowed non-participant in organized religion, a person that does not have a dog in this fight, says that what caught his eye in the report was this, quote, "In the midst of a historically unprecedented decline in face-to-face socializing, this social collapse has been steepest for some of the groups with the largest declines in religiosity. Let me read that again. In the midst of a historically unprecedented decline in face-to-face socializing, we don't get together much, this social collapse has been steepest for some of the groups with the largest decline in religiosity. He then questions whether this decline in religion has cut some folks off from, quote, crucial gateway to civic engagement. All right. Sociologist Eric Kleinenberg says that it is undeniable that, quote, non-religious Americans are less civically engaged than others. In fact, the Pew Research Center reports that the religiously unaffiliated are less likely to volunteer, less likely to feel satisfied with their community and social life, and here's the clincher, and more likely to say they feel lonely. Lonely. Wow. Clearly, he says, more Americans are spending Sunday mornings on their couches, and it's affected the quality of our collective life. Okay, just boo-hoo, right? Okay, just let it all out. Okay, because there's more. Kleinenberg suggests that this is ultimately a story about place, in that we have fewer shared spaces than we used to. He talks about libraries closing and union halls closing, school gymnasiums closing, and maybe things like churches. Huh. In addition, he said many people having lost the scaffolding of organized religion, seem to have found no alternative method to build a sense of community. Okay, cue the choir. Cue United Women in Faith. Cue the sewing group. Cue the youth group. Cue whatever group we have. Cue the church. Friends, you know, when I read this article, my reaction was not poor, pitiful us, those crazy heathens. No. No, my first thought was, how sad is that? How sad is that? Folks don't have a place to belong. Friends, welcome to Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church, where all can belong. 2 weeks from today. We're going to have a celebration here at Pleasant Grove. We're going to celebrate community. And what this community is doing and has been doing in this place for well over 180 years. That's a long time. Imagine what was going on in this community 180 years ago. Danny? Okay. All right. We're going to celebrate a community that literally has extended the touch of Christ around the globe for over a century. Opened its arms to any and all who have walked through the doors of this place. At least we hope so. That's our hope. That's our goal. We're going to celebrate by making a commitment of our lives through the commitment of our resources, our stuff, our money, as we reaffirm our covenant to be in ministry with our brothers and sisters in this place. Okay. At the end of the service, 2 weeks from today, we're going to come forward, as we always do, and we're going to place our estimate of giving cards, pledge cards, whatever you want to call it, all right, on the altar as a sign act demonstrating that we are disciples. And it is in this place that we're attempting to live out that discipleship faithfully. All right. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jay, we do this every year. Yes, we do. You're right. But for some reason, this year feels different to me. This year feels different to me. These past 4 years have been tough on faith communities, especially tough from a financial perspective, right? But you see, it costs pretty much the same amount of money to do church for 50 people as it does to do church for 500 people. It's pretty much the same cost. It's just more of a burden on 50 people. That is on 500. We have over 1,000 members at Pleasant Grove. Wow. Many communities have shuttered their doors these last few years. Others have limped along. Friends, we were able to modify things here at Pleasant Grove. We were able to tighten already tight belts, right? We worked together, we pulled together, and we made a statement together. We are the body of Christ. And that mission is too important and too significant to be jeopardized. Friends, we survived. The lights remained on at Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church, and important life-giving ministries continued. All right. This is why this year is going to be different than past years. This is why we're going to come forward in 2 weeks and place our cards on the altar, and when we do so, there's going to be a little bit more of a spring in our step. right? You see, there's a level of excitement and enthusiasm that is now coursing through this place. We had almost 500 people at church last week. I mean, that's not quite pre-COVID, but that's good. 500 people singing and laughing. There's a level of excitement and enthusiasm now coursing through us. Because we have seen what the body of Christ at Pleasant Grove can do when it pulls together. All right? This year, we're not going to talk about funding the church's current level of ministry. No, no. Maintaining the status quo. Uh-uh. No way. That's too small. That's too small a vision for God and for a people of God. This year, we're going to talk about new ministries. And we're going to talk about what we're called to do as the body of Christ in this place at this particular point in time. You know, Parker talked about that today with us. We're not going to be satisfied with maintenance ministry any longer. We've had to do it. COVID forced us to do that. But no longer. We are challenging ourselves to grow as individual disciples, as a community. It's imperative that we do this because our community needs us. The world needs us. It needs a place. It needs a place. Usually as you begin to talk about financial issues in a church, people start to squirm. They get nervous. They close in on themselves. They get defensive. Not this year. Not this year. No. We're getting away from that way of thinking. We're getting away from a way of presenting what giving is all about. We're going to do something different. But, you know, great is thy faithfulness. You heard it. You're going to hear it in different ways over the next few weeks. Just think about that. You know, please, we give in response. Please don't give in this place. Don't give your money here if you don't want to give to this church. If you're giving out of a sense of guilt, don't do it. But do give somewhere. Give somewhere, because if you don't, you will implode upon yourself. So we do. We give. It's responsive to our life. You were given life, and you respond by giving life. The word said, great is thy faithfulness. We sang it a minute ago. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Our lives are sacred. They're a gift. They're a gift. They should be lived thus every single moment. You know, giving and life are the same. It's a response. Giving should be natural to us as breathing. We just give our lives away. Now, we're not going to squirm. We're not going to squirm when we talk about money this year. We're not going to get all defensive and uptight, no. That's spiritually destructive. Spiritually destructive. In 2 weeks, we're going to make a commitment to God of our lives, symbolized by the commitment of our material resources. And we're going to be proud of that fact. We're going to revel in that moment. You should be proud of yourself. I'm giving my life away because my life has been given to me. And we're going to celebrate the fact that we at Pleasant Grove are the salt of the earth. Wow. We get to be the salt of the earth. And our saltiness has not been diminished. We're the light of the world, and we will not allow our light to be obscured. No, 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 no. We're going to let it shine because if we've lost our saltiness, I know it's used many different ways, so okay. Or we obscure our light, then we have no reason to exist. But we know that's not the case. We know that's not the case. This year, we're going to celebrate God's faithfulness and our faithfulness. 2 weeks from today, Commitment Sunday. I hope every one, single one of you will be here. I hope so. But before you get here, I want you to spend some time soul searching. Soul searching. I want all of us to stop doing whatever it is that we do in our busy lives long enough to reflect on our life, on our faith, our ministry, our community, generosity. I want you to sit down where there are no distractions. The article that I referenced earlier goes on to us about the demons of cell phone. Well, I can see that, but I love my cell phone. But turn it off for just a moment. Turn off the TV. And then in the holy silence of your life, ask yourself this. What should I be offering for the support of the ministry of Christ through my church? What should I do in the coming year? Our year starts July 1, so that's what we're talking about this time of year. What will my share be? Remember, it's not dollars we're talking about. We're talking about proportional giving. Those who have more should give more. That's a critical point. We offer a portion of what we have been given by God. Percentage giving. So if you're asking yourself, what portion of my resources am I going to get offered to God through my faith community at this point? Now, you've got to figure that out. Now, I'm convinced that all of us have room to grow in this area of faith. I know I do. I know I do. And maybe we can't jump from where we currently are to where we know we should be. But we can make progress. We can move. We can be intentional. In the article, again, from The Atlantic, Thompson makes a statement. He writes, many Americans seem to have found no alternative method to build a sense of community. So maybe religion, for all its faults, works a bit like a retaining wall to hold back the destabilizing pressure of American hyper-individualism, which threatens to swell and spill over in its absence. Friends, what you've established here across the decades, more than a century, has maintained this world, has maintained our community. It's an imperative that we continue to do this because you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. So I just want to thank you for all you do, the ministry of Christ in this place, and you will be doing in the year ahead. So thanks be to God for Pleasant Grove. Amen.